Amen. Father God, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this critical time that we're in. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish tonight in us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to how to allow you to work your life in us. And I praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we're all turning into little Jesuses, a big Jesus. And we do that by allowing you to do your work in us. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for an awesome night tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state. Thank you, Lord, for protecting Trump and his family and all the people that are involved. And Lord, we thank you for helping us get all of these Muslims out of this United States, removing all of them. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. And thank you for Obi Dobi. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Julie.
I would like y'all to pray in agreement with me, or however the Lord shows you or leads you. My neighbor Fred was a little bit of a had a little dilemma today, this afternoon, but nothing that isn't going to get resolved. Anyhow, you can't see anything, so I'll just kind of highlight. So his caregiver came out today. They ran a bunch of errands and all that kind of stuff, and she's going to be setting him up with a new internet Alexa, with Alexa, so he can just search the internet by talking to Alexa. So anyhow, so they went to the cable company that he has, which is phone, internet, TV, and they apparently got everything that they're going to need. They Fred wanted to make sure it's like, if we do this, that we're not going to, that they knew it's like, we're not setting this up until next week, because she wouldn't have time to do it all today because she only comes out for about 4 hours. So anyhow, so after they came home with groceries and different things, they where they'd been, he calls me and he asked me if I could come over, and he goes, Elizabeth left in a hurry, can you come over and make, I can't get my TV to turn on. I think she didn't turn it back to the right channel where he can get his TV. It's either internet or TV. Everything's hooked up through his TV and modem and all that. So yeah, sure, no problem. So I come over there. Come to find out that after we finally got through to the internet or to the cable company, everything, that after they signed up and got this new modem for the things she's going to do, they canceled out his service, and they had to set up the new service, which of course she didn't do. So he had no internet and no TV. And we had to make a phone, couple phone calls. And I won't go into all details about that, but it was kind of comical. So about 2 hours later, we have a scheduled technician to come out tomorrow. And earliest they could come out between 1 and 3 o'clock. So I just want prayer of agreement that with all the things going on here with our apartment complex and the staffing and all that and stuff, that the cable guy is going to be able to access the property. He's going to be able to get in here. I'm sure he's going to set everything up for Fred that he needs set up so he can get TV again. But as it stands, he has no internet. He has no television, so he can't watch here TV like he always does in the evening. So he was kind of discouraged about that. So Lord, I lift Fred up to you, Lord, and you see what he's going through. And he didn't get upset or anything, and he wasn't real anxious. He was just more disappointed. And I thank you, Lord, for helping me help him and to get through with all the stuff the way I had to help him with and explain things to get through, just anyhow, the technical part of it, actually speaking to a person who could figure out what needed to be done. And he was very, very gracious. And thank you for all that. So thank you, Lord, for getting the cable person out here tomorrow. They're not going to be an issue. Give grace to Fred tonight, Lord, that he's going to have a lot of quiet time, no television. And he just bond with his cast tonight, that they give him extra love tonight. And he has a doctor's appointment in the morning, so I pray all that goes well. He's got to be leaving here probably 7 o'clock in the morning or before when his ride comes. I just pray he has a really good day there. and that you just bless him, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for clarifying everything and getting everything set up for him. And even the technician is going to do exceeding more than I can ask or think regarding set up this new system for him and get things set up so there's no issue. So when Elizabeth comes next week, all she's got to do is, ABC, and it's done. That he's going to do majority of the work for her, for him, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that everything gonna go smooth for Fred tomorrow. In Jesus' name, where Julie won't have to go over there at all. In Jesus' name. Yeah, go ahead, Anna.
I want to praise the Lord. Matthew was in the backyard cleaning up some poison ivy a week ago. Cleaning up the thorns and poison ivy that grows in the back trees. We used to have a fence there, but it kind of fell down. They got rid of it. So now the kids can get back in there. So he was really trying to clean that up. He cleaned up a bunch of it last year, but some of it had come back. So anyways, no, not really sure how Elisha got a hold of it, but Elisha got some poison ivy. And Matthew got it real bad this time. Over there, be quiet. And Michael, I don't know if you noticed his leg, it looked so bad. Matthew had a big old wound on it, it was like oozy and all nasty and itchy and stuff. And
I
Elisha
wonder
had it
what that
on
was
his
from.
thumb, like a whole big long line down his outside of his thumb and a couple other little tiny spots. And they began to develop into big oozy things like that. They don't always do that. I guess naturally speaking, some people are allergic to poison ivy, some are not, and it depends on how allergic you are. But of course, we know that nothing will in any ways hurt us, right? So we laid hands on him and prayed for him, and it started to get all big and blistery looking, and then it went away, and it's just completely healed up now. Praise the Lord. I was like, oh Lord, I
Thank you,
do
Lord.
not want, him to be suffering if salt water, touches that. It'd be horrible. So the Lord is faithful. Thank you, Lord. It was really quick.
Thank you, Lord. Well, next time you have to do something like that, holler at me. I'm not allergic to it. It doesn't bother me at all. I can roll around in it.
Wow, praise the Lord. Good testimony, though.
Amen. It sure is. Thank you, Lord, for healing Matthew. Yeah, I saw that wound. I figured he hit a trailer hitch or something on a truck or something.
It looks pretty bad. I meant
Yeah,
good testimony that
God.
you're not allergic. Praise the Lord. But Elisha
Amen.
too. Thank you, Lord. We're all immune.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, even as a child, I could go out there. I had a brother that he could look at it and get it. He was pretty receptive to it. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Just wanted to say, by the grace of God, I don't get it. I've never gotten it. I used to walk up these weeds behind my best friend's house, and her mom used to spaz. We'd go up through this field to cut it through to go to the store to buy candy or whatever, and she would like, Missy, there's poison all through there. Her mom was so allergic, it'd just be in the air and she would get it. But praise the Lord, I've never had poison ivy. Thank you, Jesus. I give you the glory for that. Even when I was unsaved, Thank you, Lord. That's one thing I've never had. So I'm with you there on that, Michael. Lord, thank you, Lord, that all the saints, all your elect, are not under the curse, Lord. And
Amen.
Matt and Elisha will not ever get it again in Jesus' name
Absolutely
because they're
not.
not under the curse. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. That's right. Have my mouth full. Okay. Anyone next? Anyone else got something they'd like to share? Nobody, 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 nobody. Okay. Julie's going to sing another song for us tonight. Go ahead, Julie.
She's gonna sing. I'll be.
That okay with you? I'll
That
have my mic
chocolate
closed,
got
okay?
him wound up.
I guess so. Give him some more.
Yeah.
in your presence, oh God. I delight to be in your presence. There's fullness of joy. At your right hand, in your presence, here in your presence, in your presence, that's where I am strong.
Amen. I love that song. That's a good song. Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody else got something they'd like to share? I'm going to put something in the chat here. Matthew 17 and 20. Take a look at that. What do you think about it? I want the last sentence there, the last thing that I bolded up there. You see what that says? This is Jesus talking too. He said, and he saith unto them, because of your little faith, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. The mountain's going to move. And here's the clicker. And nothing, what does nothing leave out? Nothing. Shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. What does that mean to us as children of God? Sons and daughters of God. Means exactly that, doesn't it? Nothing. So why do we put limits on God? We do all the time. We put limits. Well, I don't know if he can do that or not. Give me a break. He made the universe. You know what he did? He gave us dominion over the earth, didn't he? Read Genesis. He gave humans dominion over the earth. And he says, here he says, nothing shall be impossible unto you. And if nothing shall be is impossible unto us, why do we limit ourselves? Go ahead, Ben.
I think if you were to ask any Christian, like, is anything impossible for God? Most of them would say no. Well, most of them would say everything is possible with God, is what I'm trying to say. And yeah. I think I'm not going to say that they believe that everything is possible with God. But that I think one major important thing, they forget who they are in Christ.
That's right.
They forget it's the Almighty God moving through them. They speak the miracles. They have God speaking through them, working through them. It's God's faith through us, and not just us believing in God. It's God living through us. And I forget, somewhere in Revelations, I think, fountains of living water shall flow through them, or something like that. I gotta reread it somewhere. I'm sure someone in here can quote it better than I can. It's God working through us because we have his mind, his will, his character, his nature. It's not just we believe in God and he can do this, but it's now we live that holy life for him to live it through us. We are his honorable vessel, basically. And I think my dad wants to say something.
Yeah.
You know, it says there in Second Corinthians 7:1, those two small words, let us. So who you taking with you? And he says, cleanse ourselves, you know. But you know, you're taking someone with you who cleanses you. You know, when I got the pleasure of giving my grandchild a bath once, and he's only like 1 year old, and does daddy get in the bathtub after and the baby wash him? No, I don't think he needs to be cleansed. He's the one washing the babies here and washing the little kids and stuff. So he comes along with us. You know, he's our sanctuary. You know, and that's the place that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. So let us, you take someone with you. You know, you're taking the Almighty God with you. He's your Father, and he's part of the us there. And Jesus is there too, because that's what he's making you into. So I really do think people just, they really didn't get the full gospel, I think. They just don't fathom that God is part of that let us, and he's taking us with him. And because we can't cleanse us from ourselves, from all the defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And the fear of God is the glory of God that he shares with us, because it's a love thing, you know. We want to obey him because he's our Father. And yeah, some people would think it's not a trap. You are in him because you're his bondman, you're his slave, you know, but it's something you want to do for your Father. Because agape obedience is a kind of a love thing, it's a behavioral thing, it's a natural family behavioral thing that a child would love their parent, their father, you know. So there's a direct parallel there with God the Father. And he calls us. We didn't go to him. He came to us and gave us. He loved us first, you know. And therefore, we got to love him. And he shows us how to love him. And he cleanses us with this love that never fails. So let us, you know, for his God that worketh in you both. You know what? You're referred in the plural, both. Who do you have with you? Because there's another sanctuary there too. Because Jesus spoke of the sanctuary of his body. And they seem to have that wrong, because they have a different kind of sanctuary they think that's common nowadays. And they shouldn't do that, you know, because it causes confusion. Yeah, so praise and glory to God.
Yes. All right, Julie.
I'm not sure exactly what I was going to say. I think number one is, you know, they read that and they don't understand that it is possible. People, you know, even ourselves, you know, you question, it's like, well, do I have faith for that? You know, I guess people would question their own faith. I had an experience with that with somebody recently that wanted to pray for them and something. She goes, well, I just don't know. She goes, I don't want to pray for something and then it'll not happen, and that, and then it'll just, you know, then I'll question my faith if it doesn't happen. That was where she was at, and I'm like, well, do you want me to pray or not? Because you're already admitting doubt, you know? So I think that's a big issue. And we have to fight that, you know, come to that place where, no, God, you said it. You said nothing should be impossible. So, you know, you just have to hang on to your faith. You just have to keep believing. God's the one that does it. What am I going to do, right? Nothing except hold on to my faith and confess it. But, you know, it's just a learning place, I think, you know, as we grow up. But I think you mentioned something about, I don't know, the church in general or whatever. And I think that's a huge thing is they just don't know what faith is and that they can really do that. Thank you, Lord. We're all learning that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for wonderful teachings that we have. And not only that, Lord, thank you for placing the Bible over and above anything that we, when we read and study the Bible, that it's you talking to us, and we praise you for that, Father. And you always tell us, just like this verse here, nothing shall be impossible to you. He's not saying Jesus, he's saying you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. He's given us the authority to do whatever it takes to get this gospel out and to protect his people. And when you pray, just believe that it's going to be, that it's already happened. And I know that sometimes we get discouraged in the flesh when we don't see results in the time period that we think we ought to see it already taking place. But what we need to do a lot of times is just check ourselves, and if there's anything to repent of, just repent of it and go on and believe God. And then he said, and like we've talked about so many times before, just be dogmatic in whatever you're praying for, it's going to happen. I'm believing for salvation for some of my family members. And you could look at them and say, oh my goodness. Don't look at the negative. Always just claim what you've already prayed. And just be dogmatic, like we said, that they're coming in. Praise God, because that's what he said. Anyway, anyone else? I wanted to get into this. Is there? I'm gonna throw some stuff at you. Does he say, a few things shall be impossible unto you, or does he say, nothing shall be impossible unto you? It says nothing. There's nothing that he cannot do for you that you want and need in your life. Can anybody think of anything that he couldn't do? Oh, that's right, Obi. Thank you, Obi, for answering it. Nobody else could answer that. Thank you, Obi. Praise God. Yeah, it has to be more than mental. See it. Go ahead, Anna.
The Lord gave me such a good example several years ago about not just, that everything is possible. A lot of times I think in my mind it's like, well, God can do everything, but not that he will do everything, kind of block. And I don't know how old Obi was, maybe like 5 years old, and his Crocs were dirty, his little Crocs, shoes, the slip-on shoes. And we were walking down our driveway, it's concrete, there's no mud, nothing, no grass to clean it off, nothing. And he's like, my Crocs are dirty. Would you pray that God will clean them so they don't get stained? Because we knew someone whose Crocs were stained with that red dirt, and there was nothing they could do for it. And he didn't want his new Crocs to get stained. And I was like, I think we'll just wash them when we get home. Like, I didn't want to pray about that. And I can't remember if he convinced me to pray or if he just prayed. But anyways, so I look down, I see those muddy Crocs, and we're like I said, walking down the concrete. And maybe he prayed. He prays, and I look back, or he goes, "They're clean." And I look back, and they're completely clean. And I was like, "Wow, Lord! Like, not only is it not hard for you, like, but you're willing. You're so willing. It was so amazing. Like, Just, I don't know. It was just one of those ones that just sticks with you for the rest of your life. Like, God cares about a 5-year-old's, the mud on a 5-year-old's crocs. So praise the Lord. Nothing's
Amen.
too hard.
Yeah. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Yeah, that's good. Praise God. How many of you think that he can change a government out? Amen. He sure can. And he will if you pray and believe. Lord, I thank you for a good change in the government in Iran, that they would put the Shah back in there, and that it would be a country that would allow Christianity. In fact, the Christians would grow further and bigger than the Islamic group. And we praise you and thank you for it, Father. And we ask and we pray that placing in people's heart here in the United States to outlaw Islam. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. It's a satanic organization, and we thank you, Father, for doing that. Praise be to God. Now, I know that's going out, but I don't care. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? How many of you think that God can change time? Amen. Yeah. He said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. How many of you think he can change your DNA? Amen. I believe that God can, of course, I'm sitting here and I know some things that y'all don't know, but it's amazing to understand that this verse is so true. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. And the reason I say that is because I've seen things like, man, I would have never imagined that God would have done. When we prayed, I've seen it happen in the headlines the next day. Stuff like that. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will. Whatsoever leaves what out? Nothing. And it shall be done unto you. I believe it. Now that's twice he said that. And he says it a lot more too. But that's what I want you to get. A lot of you could go into Christianity ease in any church. What you think God can do this? Oh yeah, I think he can do that. You think he will do that? Well, I don't know about that, If God wills it, it can be done. You don't think that if I pray that it's not going to happen? Well, if God wills it, that ain't what it says here, is it? That's not what it says. And nothing shall be impossible to you. I believe it. I believe it. And if I believe, Lord, that we're going to have a regime change over in Iran that's going to help the people and to get Islam out of there. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. I can believe that and I believe it. I know it's going to happen because I prayed it and I believe it. It's going to happen just like it did back in the 70s when the first Shah was in there, or whichever one it was. I don't know which one he was. Amen. And Lord, we thank you for getting the Muslims out of this country. They're just not caught. They're all are causing nothing but trouble. That's all they're doing. They're murdering people, raping people, just doing all kinds of garbage. And Father, we thank you for that. Getting it out of Canada too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And thank you, Lord, that the people up there are going to get tired of it and they're going to go to Holland. Get these people out of here. They're anti-Christ. They're anti-Christ people. They like to murder Christians. That's, they love to murder Christians. And Lord, I thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name. I believe it, Lord. I believe you're going to annihilate them out of here. Get them out of here. I ask, Lord, that you send your angels out there to help out getting these people out of here. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Lord, it says here in the Word, nothing shall be impossible to you. I ask, Lord, that you get them out of here within 2 months' time. In Jesus' name. Debbie, we're talking about the Muslims. Getting them out of here, getting them out of this country, and getting anybody that supports them out of this country. In Jesus' name. Any politicians that support them, out of this country. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All illegals, yeah, you got to go too. Thank you, Father. I see them leaving now. I see the angels going and snatching them up and taking them out in the middle of the desert somewhere. In Jesus' name. Putting them back on a camel and sending them off. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Yeah. Well, if there are Christians in here illegal, they'll have to get legal before they can stay. That's the law. Good night, Obi. Obi Dobi. Patobi. He's a blessing. Every now and then he'll slip and call me Papa. All right, anybody else? Anybody want to expound on what we're talking about here? Matthew 17:20. Nothing shall be impossible to you. I'm going to pray something. Okay, Julie, you go ahead and then I'll pray something.
Oh, okay. You sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because I was thinking along the lines of, because you said, because of your little faith, which is little as in small or near none. I don't know what he means by that exactly. But he says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed.
That's little.
So it's a small seed.
Yep.
And I think there's other places. I don't know if it's this one, if there's a parallel to that where it's spoken Matthew in another gospel where it says, and do not doubt in your heart. Is that a parallel to that one? To that one in Matthew? Anyway.
Well, that's because part of faith. That's what faith is. Yeah.
Right. And not giving up. And
not giving up.
It's not giving up, but it's a grain of mustard seed and just understanding that. I think, like in my mind, I'm thinking, well, what do you do with the mustard seed? You know, generally people would plant it, right? So you would get a plant. So it has to, faith has to be planted and it has to be watered and nurtured and so that the plant grows, right? So it's something that starts out small.
Yep.
You know, if you have your little faith, but if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed and you plant it and you water it and it starts to sprout up and then you see something, right? Yeah. I guess. So you're encouraged by something, you know, what you see, or you're, you know, even within, as if it's in your own heart, you see that there's something changing in you. I don't know, but anyhow, you can tell it to do, you know, do what you say. Anyway, that's what I was thinking. So
yeah, hope that little mustard seed is like that. You can almost shake it out of a salt shaker. You put it in the ground, just under the ground, water it, it'll come up and it'll make a big bush. So, Lord, we just
aren't they
all
a
we have
hardy,
to.
a hardy plant too? I
Yes,
mean, they're a
yes.
hardy plant. They don't, they're like
Yeah.
drought resistant kind of thing too. I don't know.
Yep. That's what I know. All right. Anybody else? I'm believing that the Lord's going to purge this country, hopefully, of the there goes doubt and unbelief. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. That they purge this whole country of these people. I think it ought to be outlawed. Here's what they believe in. Has anybody ever read what they believe in the Quran? They have no regard for women whatsoever. They're just a tool for them. They have no regard for women. They don't have any regard for children. They'll kill their own children. And other kinds of stuff. Pedophiles, they're kill you. They'll kill infidels. They're allowed to kill infidels. The Christians, they're allowed to kill Christians. That's their primary deal, is to kill Christians. It's a satanic organization. Lord, we thank you for getting them out of here in Jesus' name. I know over in the East, in Middle East, the governments over there that survive through Muslim, if they've got Muslims in their country, they have to put a real hard thumb over the Muslims. They have to keep them under wraps. I was in Morocco for 2.5 years, which is a Muslim country. The king over there had an iron rule. If one of them messed up, I will not see him again. They would just leave. In the night, they just go. They have what they call the king's guard, and they kept a tight rein on them because they knew what they would do. And if it hadn't have been for the CIA, the Iran would have never gone back to Muslim. The CIA was the one who brought them back in. It was Bush. Anyway, Lord, thank you for getting them out of here. All right, anything else on what we're talking about here, Matthew 17 and 20? I think we're all going to see things, if we make it through this thing, we're all going to see things that we didn't believe was possible through our prayers. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, it says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one. And that's in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Anyway, what is this faithfulness, you know? Because, you know, to be faithful is to be faithful in the Lord, you know, because
yes,
that's God's plan for us. You know, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through his faith. Now, I think his there is referring to Jesus. And you know what Jesus said about this faith. He said, have God's faith. So, you know, he's putting it on his Father, and his Father's putting it on Jesus. It's one and the same, you know, because that's what he meant when he for it is God that worketh in you both. You know, you got the Jesus spirit in you, Because you're born again into Jesus, but you got to grow up now, and you got to bear fruit in your soul. So, and that's all by faith. So, and we overcome because of the faith. And the faith is, of course, I'll put it to you this way. Before the faith came, you were kept inward under law. And he says that in Galatia, and these people were, the Galatians had their own gods and goddesses. They had their own vernacular, their own word that they believed in, you know, but they never really got any grace from their god and goddesses, you know. And once you get a God that will give you grace and mercy, you know, to grow up in, every child needs that, you know. You don't kill your kids when they do something wrong. And, you know, because there wouldn't be any people left. So we have a God of grace. And by grace have you been saved? Of course, we were taught that grace is all you can be in Christ. And it's true. Because even Paul told that to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 1. Thou therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. So, you know, This child, he's not a child. He was a full-grown man, Timothy. You know? And we're often referred to as children in 1 John 3 and 1 and 2. We're referred to as children. But we want to be sons and daughters of God. And that's in that sanctuary that I was talking about over there in 2 Corinthians 6. 16, 17, and 18. Thus saith the Lord. It's bracketed right in there in those two verses. God says it twice there. I mean, how many times does he, you know, when he says, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel went to go see the high priest, and then he did it twice, and then the high priest told him, at least some common sense there, just say, what is it, Lord? You know, and you can hear the Lord talking to you. He will talk to you. You know, if he talks to Samuel, we have a better sacrifice than Samuel had. You're correct. You'll hear the voice of your angel. We just got too much experience hearing that tempter all the time, but we don't want to listen to him. And, you know, temptation is not sin. Temptation leads to sin. So, you know, we have a faith, you know. If you're shut up from the faith to be revealed when they were that way, you know, then what is the faith? You know, if you're shut, that's the person who's in the box there, and an inner man, that's not that inner man, that's Jesus Christ, you know, and that faith is Jesus Christ in you and God the Father in you. It's Emmanuel, in accordance to Colossians 3:3, for ye died and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's Emmanuel, and that's who you, that's the sanctuary you're walking in. That's who you take with you. So it's that's why it's the good news. That's why it's wonderful. That's why living is the word of God and active. That's why we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's putting a tabernacle over us. You know, some people think it's just a hedges. No, it's a tabernacle hedge over us, because that's what Paul got when he had those three thorns in the flesh, and he asked him three times, "Oh, my grace is sufficient for you, and I'm going to put a tabernacle. I'm placing this tabernacle over you, and it's not made with hands. It's right there. It's that sanctuary." So. And it's been prepared for us when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And that's the sanctuary too. He's preparing a place for you to be raised up with him. Can you imagine Paul, the apostle, standing in front of those Ephesians and saying, I was raised up with him and made to be seated with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You know, he was called a madman by the Roman governor, you know, and he all he was doing was giving his testimony of what he went through in Acts chapter 9 and chapter 26, you know, and that's his wonderful, that's a pretty powerful testimony. And of course, none of those people understood what he was talking about. Even King Agrippa came close. You know, I think he went through the first land of the parable of the sower because he said, Paul, with but little you try to convince me to be a Christian. So something clicked there, you know. But, it, you know, that bird comes in and takes that seat out of him right away. So, you know, I think that's what probably happened to King Agrippa there, you know. And he said, whether by little or by much, you know, it don't take much to start a revival. You know, it's when God says it, it goes. And he says it to us twice. So even more than twice, how many times is it? And out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let my word be established. You know, it's bracketed there in those two verses. Who's going with us, you know? Who's there, you know? And, you know, out of the, and God's going with you. Like, come on, it's Emmanuel. Don't be a person who's not going to even listen to that old guy, Simeon, who prophesied over the baby Jesus that he was a sign. Now, you go down the highway, you see a sign, and you know a curve's coming. You better turn the car, because if you go straight, you know, you're going to have a farmer's field or something. So that sign, don't speak against it, because that's the true meaning of Christmas. It's that little baby there. You're going to get birthed one of these days. Come on. Don't speak against that sign, because that's a new life in you. So I just, you know, it's really good news, you know. Everyone's giving us bad news to, like, you know, it's fake news, too. There's a lot of fake news out there, and there's just people just don't want to give the new good news anymore. And the news is the news, you know. It's north, east, west, and south, you know. That's the four winds, you know. That's that verse over there where you're taking in these four winds from earthly to heavenly, you know. Anyway, the news is good news. It's a superior news to edit. No one else has news like our news, you know. And good news, you know why it's good news? Because one of the fruits of the Spirit is goodness. It is. Well, and we got some real good news, and you know, it's true. You take one of the O's away, you got God's news. God's news. So, you know, and he's single-eyed. I know that for a fact from the Sermon on the Mount. So he's got good news for you in the single eye. And your eye cannot be, your eye is a lamp. You know, doesn't it say your eye's a lamp over there? You know, he's giving you a parable about your eye being a lamp in that Sermon on the Mount, you know. And, you know, that's prophecy. That's edification, exhortation, consolation. It's that prophecy, and you don't want to go against it. It's the spirit of the word. And we're that epistle, known and read of all men, all the people who read it anyway. And you don't have a blank page there, because God has to write that new covenant on your heart and on your mind. It's got to be in there. He's got to write it there. You know, and he sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name, who's going to teach us all things and remind us what he wrote there. And we're going to have faith. What is faith and works? You know, what is every good word and work? You know, aren't we being counseled that the word of God is not going to be void of power? You know, since his divine power has given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness, whose life? Come on, you better know. You don't know, you're going to get smacked. And godliness, you know. I'm not going to smack you either, because I can't do that. I got the word of God. And the word of God has power to it. It's the good news. You know, we got so much bad news coming into our ears. It's got to be those times, you know, like he told us, when you see, and you got to have a single eye for this thing, you know, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel standing in a holy place, let him that readeth understand. Well, some translations say the holy place, But how many holy places are there? He just told you he's going to make a tabernacle out of you. I know some of you are putting on weight, but it's not those stones, you know, though we are lively stones. So we got to be a living stone. You know, there was a, who was a guy named Livingston? Anyways, we're living stones, bringing the gospel to people, because we're alive. We have sensed his divine power. So the divine power has to come to you by grace. By grace have you been saved? Have you heard from him? Do you remember your first love? You were so in love, man. You just wanted to hear everything you could want to hear about grace and about this love that we have from him. You know, because of his fullness, we all received grace upon grace. And then you wonder, well, didn't I get that already? But what didn't you get? It's in anything and in everything. And in is a unity word. And in is grace. And I'm telling you that in anything and in everything is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And then it goes through all those tribulations. And then it goes through some comforts for your comfort and suffering for comfort. And you get it all. You got to have practice in it. You know what? You don't know. We're supposed to be rejoicing in tribulation. That's what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Rejoice in tribulation, for tribulation worketh patience, and patience approveness, and approveness hope. Hope putteth not to shame. You know why? Because it's one hope of the hope of your calling. So what's going on here? You know, why can't you just be happy, you know? You know, just be blessed. We have to be blessed. We're blessed. You know why we're blessed? Because God said so. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, that was downloaded in me one time when we were studying this, you know, and I can get eight out of nine blessings. and you want them. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, if he's going to fill you with righteousness, you know what happens. Hey, nobody's going to like you. But don't eat worms. Just keep on eating the blessings. And because it says there, you know, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You got to be mature to do that, to produce children. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They got single eye. You know, and these blessings, blessed are those, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. You know, what land is that? You know, it's not Canada. It's not from Bonavista to Vancouver. It's the land of the fourth land of the parable of the sower, weedless. There's no weeds in that land, because he's going to bind them up. You got the keys to bind these seeds out of you. And they get binded into bundles with your key to heaven. You bind those things, and they end up where? Well, someone's got to throw them somewhere. And we don't want the bad seed. We want the good seed. We have to go. We have to go to the wedding feast. You have to go. He calls those bidden. That means he's calling the ones who are called. You know, and you can't have, it would be nice to have all these things. And before you got the piece of land, you know, and before you got the five yoke oxen, before you got five tractors, you know, before you got married, you know, it'd be nice to have the land that you're supposed to have, you know, and that you went to the wedding feast. You know why? Because a great king wants to throw for his son a wedding feast, but that's the sanctuary. That's the lettuce you take with you. You know, and he's sanctifying and cleansing. So let us. You know, for it is God that worked it in you both. You know, if we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore prepared, that we should walk. What do we have to do? We have to rest. You know, rejoice. Give thanks for this rest. Enter his rest with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter his rest with joy. Well, you better go with the joy and the thanksgiving, because you're praying for that. If you ever get anxious, you'd be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's your thanksgiving. It's not just once a year. It's every day you're in thanksgiving, every prayer, every prayer. And we love to see the Lord's answer. We love to see, of course, we love to see the Lord's answer. Because, you know, for God so loved the world. That's why. You know, and he said something through his prophet Isaiah. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth unto him perish not, but have everlasting life. Unto. You know, that's that book someone wrote. Everywhere you see that unto in the verse where it's supposed to be as an unto, that's instantaneous and progressive. From faith to faith. Grace upon grace, because of his fullness, we all received. Past tense. Grace upon, and you're supposed to ask, and you're supposed to seek, and you're supposed to know. Well, that's the prayer you're supposed to do. And we got to do it. It's. I don't know if we feel like we're abandoned children, but he even takes care of that one. You know? I will not leave you orphan. I will come unto you. There you go. If he promises that, then what is it that a father would not do for his son or daughter? I understand we're flesh and blood, and there's only certain things we can do. But didn't he say to us, command ye me? Wow. From what we heard today, he'll even clean your shoes. I never thought of cleaning, you know, never thought of that, you know. But some of the simplest things are probably, I wonder if those kind of harder to do, those simple things like that, you know, than for him to move a mountain or something, you know. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We get to call him Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the name we have is a shared name. We share. Well, he shares with us because he's the us we take with us. You know, hallowed be thy name. Jesus is the name called the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is the holy name. So when we rejoice that our names are written in the heavens, in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the us we take with us. Wow. Talk about good news. Wow. That's really good news. That is such a wonderful. Goodness is your fruit of the Spirit given to you because you got us. Let us. Everyone can spell us. I didn't do any homeschooling. But that's a two-letter word and a three-letter, let us. So who is that? And God's pretty easy, too. It's a three-letter word. And you know, some of these small words that even the little kids know, if you can spell them, then they're written upon your epistle. I mean, that's just simple stuff. Is God written upon your epistle, known and read of all men? It's in the lettuce. Like, what's going on here? I don't know. Am I a nut or something? You know? No, I'm not. I don't believe in nuts. I like to eat them, but I believe in God. I believe in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name. That's what I was sealed in at my baptism. And you know, you rise to newness of life. And you can compare that to your circumcision of your heart. I mean, he's got to write it on your epistle, and that's where your heart is. Written upon hearts of flesh by the Spirit of God. That's who you are. And that's the new covenant. He writes the law there. But we get the fulfillment of it. Because he says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And that's what you got to see with your eye. But you know, we got a single eye. I'm telling you, we got a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. They sing about it. And we've got this lamp because it's in our tabernacle. I mean, Jesus had to bring the light with him. You know, you got to have the light, the escort lights, and Jesus is light himself. You know, look how he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. He formed a light. We are children of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says we're light. We're children of the day, not of the night. And we've got that, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day by day uttereth speech, and night by night showeth knowledge. Oh, is he teaching us to be astronomers? To put our telescope? What's this moon look like anyway? You know, I got a pair of binoculars. I saw the moon. So I guess I'm okay. And it goes into a single eye, those binoculars. I don't know how it works, man. And you got the sun glory in the day, and you got the moon glory at night, and you got the star glory at night, and you know, how does those glories there become this candlestick, you know, or this lamp? And how is it in your eye? Because that's what he taught us, you know. He taught us that this lamp, the lamp of the body is the eye. So, you know. I understand you flash a light in a cat's eye, and you see the two little lights after. You know, this is how they go frog fishing at night, you know. The two lights come up, and there's one, you know. And you can have frog legs. But, you know, the lamp of the body is the eye. And your eye has to have that... That verse there at the end of Corinthians 1:27, it says there, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's from glory to glory, even as from the Lord, the Spirit. That's the glory. And the glory is that light. In him was life, and this life is the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness apprehends it not. So we need to have light, because we are children of light, we are children of God, we have glory to glory, we have faith to faith, we have grace upon grace, we have even salvation is instantaneous and progressive, because 13:11 says, now awake out of your sleep. You know, the 13:10 says, we're supposed to not be nice to our neighbors, you know, and 13:11 is now is our salvation closer than when we first believed. So, you know, salvation is instantaneous and progressive in 13:11 of Romans. And love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And now this knowing, awake out of your sleep. You know, like, Mick, are we dozing off here? Are we kind of having something we're not supposed to have here? We got to wake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Because love never fails. And so there's a lot of wonderful word out there. And we have to have this word put in our hearts and in our minds. It comes out of your mouth and it comes out of your heart. Our mouth is open wide to you, Corinthians. Our heart, these Corinthians, be ye also enlarged. Well, in what? In your mouth or in your heart? I hope you catch on that that's Romans 10:10. So praise and glory to God. Glory to God all the time. It's glory to God. He's sovereign God. And oh, praise God. I'm telling you, he's going to just keep on going. You can make you talk so much, you'll be like that proverb. You won't be able to shut up. And you know, glory to God for that too. You can't keep a glory to God man away from speaking the glory of God. What else do you want? So many, I don't know, are we just so used to hearing the bad news all the time? But you know, even the Lord tells you the fruits of the flesh, spirit, over there in Galatians chapter 5. And another witness for this is in Colossians chapter 3. You know what he says? He says there, put to death fornication. Can you put to death fornication? I think that's what it says there in the third chapter of Colossians, and the uncleanness and the other ones that are listed there as the fruits of the flesh spirit. And you know, you got to take the lettuce with you to do that, because God has to come with you to do that. We can't do that by ourselves. We can't straighten ourselves out. It's God who has to straighten us out. If the apostle can't straighten you out, then someone's got to straighten you out. You know, they thought the apostles can straighten them out over there in Corinthians chapter 1. You're not straightening us, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? He might be today. Because they don't all have the same mind. They don't all want to speak the same, and they don't have the same judgment today in those divisions. And that's a fruit of the flesh spirit division. There is holiness, but I don't know what happened there. Was it a trick? Did something creep in unawares? When does the, I don't want to say that. Anyway, praise and glory to God.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Lord, fill us up. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Fill us all up with your Holy Spirit and let the Spirit of God flow throughout in Jesus' name. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
Here, when I put that hand down, I go off. I don't know why that happens. But anyway, so the verses you started with, Matthew, were they, Michael, were they Matthew 17? Was it Matthew 17, 20?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I have a cross-reference there. My Bible, I'm sure you guys may also, but Matthew 21:21. But I went before that, I was reading before that about the barren tree that Jesus commanded no longer to show you bear any fruit. He saw it was not bearing fruit. And then he said in 21, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do that, do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will be done. It will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So all things. But he was saying this after he cursed the fig tree, the faith that he had. And that one verse will have the have faith in God. And David says it's have the faith of God. And so like, wow, we can have the faith of God. I was just thinking, if we all had the faith of God and believed what you were saying about no Muslims going to be in this country in when however long, but all agreeing with that and having the faith of God, we can be the ones that can believe that, and it will happen. I got kind
That's
of excited
right.
about that. I thought we could be the ones believing that, and we're going to see it happening. So,
Yeah.
amen. Have the faith of
Amen.
God. And when he did that, curse that fig tree, that's what he was saying. Because I did this, and if you can do anything if you believe, and believing is having faith. And he said, have the faith of God. So praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Absolutely. If we all got faith, we'll see it happen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that every Muslim in every factious Muslim in this country is gone in Jesus' name. I
Amen.
thank you, Father, that your angels are out there collecting them and getting them out of here in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father.
Thank you,
Glory be to
Jesus.
God. And Lord, I ask and I pray that if there's any that's going to be your elect, that you keep them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah,
Glory be to
hallelujah,
God.
hallelujah. Thank you,
I
Jesus.
believe it. I believe it's happening even as we speak right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Debbie. Got me fired up, girl. Go ahead, Julie.
Amen. The word says, if any two of you on earth agree is
Yep.
touching anything, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. That is a promise. That's a word. And we all agree. And we rebuke any doubt or uncertainty about that. In Jesus' name, we cast it down. We command it to be null and void. Thank you, Lord. We all have faith
Thank you,
because
Jesus.
Christ is in each of us, each of us. And it's like, that's why we can have the faith of God, because it's Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us. And we don't live anymore. It's Christ who lives in us. So Christ doesn't doubt. When he speaks something, it's done. And that's how we have to see ourselves in the mirror. Thank you, Lord. So that's who's praying. You know, thank you, Jesus. You answer
Amen.
every prayer with a yes and an amen, Lord, every promise. Thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the mind of Christ. You've not only given us the mind of Christ, you have given us the dominion of Christ and the authority of Christ. And we praise you, Father, that we are walking, talking Jesus's. Now, a lot of people might scoff at that, but I believe that that's what we're all trying, that we're all going for. In Jesus' name, because what did Jesus say? Bear the fruit 30, 40, 60 fold. The fruit of what? The fruit of Jesus. You got to look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus. And I believe it. I believe, Lord, that everything that we pray is coming to pass even as we speak. And I thank you, Father, for it. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed and everybody here that needs a healing is healed as well. In Jesus' name. And I praise you. Thank you for it, Father. Not only that, we're all delivered as well, too. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to have a Holy Spirit party. In Jesus' name. Woo, that'd be awesome. Glory to God. Be running around the sanctuary. Of course, we'd be running around Anna's house if we was doing that. With the kids. That's okay. All right. Anybody else? Glory to God. How many of you know we can stir up the spirit in us? Yes, we can. Praise be to God. You can do it any number of ways. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Angels are on it. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read you a little something here that should stir you up a little bit. Taking a son's place. You're not a servant. You're not a slave. You're a son. Because you're taking Jesus's place, acting in his stead, doing the Father's will. You may know that you are the Father's will, just as Jesus was the Father's will. Because of his own will, he begat you. You are the fruit of his own word. You came into being by his own power and ability. You have received eternal life. Man, if I had an organ player. His very nature, you recognize your place in Christ. And you're acting the part of a son. The great unsaved world must know what he has done for them in Christ. And so you're taking his ability, doing your part in the saving of men, just like Jesus did his part. And you belong to a super, everybody here, belong to a supernatural order of beings, whether you recognize it or not, whether you have taken your place or not, that you have the ability of the indwelling presence of Jesus. Amen. And if you have the, listen, how many of you think Jesus hears you when you speak? Well, if he's in you, he hears you, don't you? You don't have to scream at him. You don't have to lift your eyes up to heaven. He's right here. He's right here. So all we have to do is just talk to him. Say, Lord God, thank you. Thank you for filling us with the Holy Spirit and the power to overcome. That's the Holy Spirit giving us the power to overcome the world and the flesh and all of that stuff that has hindered us in the past. And we praise you, Father, that we're walking, talking Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement of your Holy Spirit filling everybody here tonight with your Spirit. And not only that, Lord, with the Spirit of overflowing. Be overflowing in us, Lord, that we slosh out on people. We walk down the street. People just, man, just have a Holy Ghost fit right there. And I thank you for it. Not a fit, but a Holy Ghost smile on their face. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we are the temple where God abides. And if we're the temple, he's with us, isn't he? Holy Ghost is with us. Is he not the strongest? Isn't he not the most explosive thing in the universe? Absolutely. Absolutely. And what do we have to worry about? Nothing. Praise be to God. We don't have to worry about finances. We don't have to worry about sickness because it's gone. It's gone. All he wants us to do is believe it. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Can I just read John 15, verse 7?
Sure.
Jesus said, if you abide in my word, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so to prove to be my disciples. And it says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments and abide in my love, just I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. That's all about believing and trusting the Lord gave you.
Amen.
That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The 15 and 8, herein is my Father glorified. Herein is my Father glorified. Now he's saying, listen, that ye may bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciple. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. And that's what he's talking about. The Father will be glorified. Praise be to God. We just have to believe everything. We don't have to have, we don't have to have all this stuff. We don't have to have a lot of money. Don't have to have anything. We don't have to have a bunch of food stored up. We don't have to have a bunch of money stored up. How many of you know that your father owns the cows on 1,000 hills? And I'll tell you something else. The next part of that, he owns the hills too. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, amen. He has control. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us nothing but yourself, and that is everything that we need. Everything. What is that on the deal there, Julie?
That is from that last teaching that we did on quantum faith, you know, that
Okay.
about the words and stuff, and he gives different words and things what different things mean. So when you're saying it's like a person, per equals through, sun equals sound, and we are born through the sun. Person equals sound moving through him. You are vibration. That's what you're saying. It's like we can affect everything around us because we are vibration. You are frequency. Every person is a unique frequency signature broadcasting through matter. This is quantum physics. This is string theory. This is ancient wisdom. And they hit it. Anyhow, you are not a solid thing. You are sound moving through form, your frequency wearing meat. And you, once you get that, you understand that your words matter so much because you're already sound, you're already frequency. Your words are consciously directing that frequency. I thought that was a kind of a neat
Yeah.
revelation about that. It's like, you know, I'm trying to find the other part where it's like so many feet around you, you know. I was trying to find that part. You guys remember that? That teaching that we did? Anyway, oh,
I
here it is.
remember.
Now let's talk about electromagnetic body because this is where it all comes together. You think you're solid, right? You feel solid. You look in the mirror, you see a physical body, but that's an illusion. You're 99.99999 empty space. The atoms that make up your body are mostly electromagnetic fields. You are frequency wearing meat. The Heart Math Institute proves something incredible. Your heart generates electromagnetic field that extends 15 feet around you in all directions. 15 feet, that's huge. That field carries information, emotion, intention, and frequency. It affects everyone and everything nearby. You feel this. You know when you walk into a room and someone's angry, you feel it before they say a word. You know when somebody's in love, they radiate it. That's not physical ability, that's electromagnetic field detection. You're reading frequency. Anyhow, just thought that was kind of cool when you're saying we affect people around us, because we do, because it's the Holy One in us, you know. We are anointed. That's the, you know, Christ in us, hope of glory. We affect people around us with our attitude and our words and our emotion and our, you know, our positive speaking faith to people. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes, you're right. Our frequency, vibrations, as some people call it, does affect people. You could tell when somebody's mad. You could tell when somebody's happy, happy, happy. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. You had your hand up a while ago.
Puts a whole new meaning to why Peter's shadow fell on the people.
Amen.
Right? 15 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jesus detected someone touched him. 15 feet. I mean, she had to be even within 15 feet to touch the border of his garment. And now he gets to put his garment on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. I believe, Andrew, there's going to be some of us here. I believe there's going to be some of us, if not all of us, that'll be able to walk down the street. And as we walk down the street, the power of God will heal people. Yeah. Set them free. Devils will be screaming out of people. Yeah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I've seen in the spirit realm, I've seen this happen in people just rising up. When a man or woman of God walks by and the power of God goes out for them, people jump up and healed, delivered, and set free, hollering, "Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb." And just having a revival right there on Front Street. The anointing of God is very powerful. And the closer you come to the Lord, the closer you are to the Lord, the more that anointing is upon you. And that's why that's why I believe that we should be spending time with the Lord as much as possible. And learning what he wants, you know, from us, talking to us. How many of you talk to Jesus? Yeah. Amen. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Just when you said that, it just reminded me of the Lord. I felt like the Lord was telling me to take advantage of as much time as I can with him now. You know,
Yeah.
like being sober and watchful and just, redeeming the time, because we can't take that, 10 minutes, 15 minutes back. We can't get it back. Whatever it
Amen.
is, it's like, help us all, Lord, to do that, to redeem the time and spend as much time as we can, even if it's just praying in the spirit or sitting there and reading something. You know, Michael, you're really good at this. You got something laying on your bed. We can see it, something on your bed or whatever, and you're always picking up something and reading something, scripture or
Yeah.
something. You know,
Yeah.
and you're a good example of that for us all. And so whatever downtime we have, we should be picking up a book, that's full of the word or whatever it is
Amen.
that edifies ourselves, or putting a Bible study on or whatever. And that's what the Lord was just reminding me when you saying that. It's like, that I need to be taking advantage of much time as I have with him.
Amen. Yeah, we have God. We have Jesus living inside of us. We have a Holy Spirit living inside of us. And why? I have a question for you. Another question. Why did Jesus tell us that our light should be load? I mean, our load should be light. Excuse me, I got it backwards there a little bit. Tongue twister. Why? Because you see Christians struggling all the time. Struggling. It's just burdened down with weight. And when he said, "My load is light," why do you figure that? Why do you think that's the problem? That is a problem. Can I tell you what I thought? Now go ahead, Julie.
What I think maybe is just like we're always trying to figure it out how to fix it or to do it ourselves. And
Bingo.
he wants us to give it to him, talk to him about it. It's like, I don't know what to do. Show me what to do, or I'm just going to rest and let you do it.
And if you do that, the load is light, isn't it? The load is light. You give it to him and allow him to work it out in you. If you've got a problem with a certain area in your life, it's okay, Lord, I'm handing it to you. I'm putting it on your altar. It's your problem now. I ain't worried about it no more. Anymore, I'll get some right English in there. My mom would have a fit, but I'm just talking like I was brought up. Me and my dad are really alike. Anyway, that's what we need to do. We need to get Jesus inside, knowing that Jesus is inside of us. He's doing the work. Thank you, Lord, for taking whatever it is away from me. Thank you, Lord, for taking procrastination away from me. Thank you, Lord, for taking distraction away from me. I know you're working in me right now to do just that, and everybody else here that's had that problem. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Just add a little bit what Julie said, but it all comes back to if you have God in you, in other words, your nature should be love. That's the main thing about all of me, it's love. If you love, you have to ask your Father. That's it, because Jesus keep his commandments for the Father. We have to keep the word. That's the main thing, is love your God with your heart, soul, and mind. That's all about love. But we have to ask everything. That's what I learned from the word. But then what David always says is, you have to ask for everything. Don't depend on self. Ask everything. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Listen to my Bible study tomorrow. It's going to be a lot. I'm going to be going over a lot of this. Here's something that I have down here. The Christian life was never designed to be lived by you. That's what Julie was talking about a while ago. It was designed to be lived by Christ through you, right? That's right. The Christian life is not you trying to live like Christ, it's Christ living his life through you. That's a revelation, y'all. That's a revelation. It's not what you do, it's what Christ in you does. All we have to do is keep our mind on Jesus. You stop trying to produce and start abiding. You stop striving to become and start allowing. Allowing him to be what? You. I mean, not be you, but work through you. And the Christian life becomes natural because it's not you living it, it's him living it through you. Yeah, glory to God. Boy, that should set somebody free. It should set somebody free. It's not us trying to live like Christ. It's us allowing Christ to work through us, to work his life through us. We just rest like Jesus, like God the Father. We just rest. We're on the seventh day here. We're resting in Christ. He's doing the work in us. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. That ought to lift some weight off a lot of people. How many of us just been struggling out there? Well, today I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do that. I got to read the word. I got to do this. Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Jesus, what would you do today? I know what you do. You be in the word. I bet you. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be a good time with you today. Praise be to God. And have a good attitude about everything. Because what was Jesus? LUV. That's what he was. LUV. You know what LUV is? It's love. Yeah, it's LOVE. Thank you, Lord. But down south, we called it love. But that's what we are. We're just letting Jesus work it out through us. And that just takes so much headache off of us. We just get in the Word and say, Lord, teach me something today. He'll do it. I'll tell you what you can do. Before you go to sleep tonight, ask the Lord to show you something in a dream, something supernatural. Just ask Him, Lord, show me something supernatural in my dream tonight. Or in a vision. Whatever. Watch what happens. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I had somebody ask this one time. Lord, take me on a, what do you call it? Translation. Take me on a translation trip. They got scared before they went very. And the Lord did, took them up for a while. Took them up, took them up, took them up, and they got scared. Had to come back down. God can do anything, can't he? Lord, I thank you for showing us all some kind of supernatural happening in our lives. Show us the angels around us, Lord. That'd be a good one. How many of you seen the angels around you before? Yeah, Julie had. Oh, no, I have. I've seen some. I saw Jesus last night. Was it last night? Monday night. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not anybody. Don't get me wrong. I ain't trying to say that I'm somebody or someone, somebody. I'm not. Anybody else can do it. How many of you is praying the Spirit a lot? I do. I pray in the Spirit a lot. Yeah. I remember one time, y'all know who Kenneth Hagin was, don't you? Y'all remember Kenneth Hagin? Preacher from Oklahoma. He decided that he was going to just pray and pray and pray. And he said, I decided I was just going to sit down and I was going to pray. And he said I was going to pray for ever how many hours it was. I believe it was 7 hours or 15 hours or something like that. Anyway, he said he prayed for 7 hours. And he said, you wouldn't believe the things that the Lord showed me during that 7 hours. He said he showed me angels that I'd never seen before. He said he showed me this, that, whatever it was. I showed him a lot of things in the spirit realm. I'm telling you this, that praying in the spirit is the doorway to walking in the supernatural. And, of course, being close to the Lord. You got somebody out there, Debbie. Amen. Up, up, they're taking off. No, I think that's Shalonda coming home. All right, anybody else got anything they want to talk about? Who was that? Anyway, I remember the first time I saw angels was in a house over in Memphis. A lady had asked us to go over there and pray and bless her new house that she just bought. And it was in a location in Memphis that's not a very good place, but we went over there. Me and another guy, they went inside that house, and it was empty, wasn't anything in it, and we started praying in the spirit, just walking through the house, you know how you do, praying in the spirit, and all of a sudden, the heavens opened up, and it looked like a tornado of angels coming down, I'm telling you, hundreds of them coming down and just filled that house up with angels. And I said, oh my gracious, I've never seen that before. I'd seen demons, but I hadn't seen angels like that. Golly, boy, I mean, they were coming down. You see, there was probably thousands of them coming down. I told James, I said, "Man, you ought to see these angels." I said, "You see these angels?" He said, "No." I said, "Man, they are filling this house up." And I said, "It looked like a tornado of them. You know what a tornado looks like? It's just a bunch of people coming down in circles and coming down. That's where they look, coming down." Golly, I said, "Man, this is awesome." Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? We got 10 minutes left. 12 minutes. Something like that. You want to hear a story about the angels I saw up in the hills? I was at a house up in the hills at a friend of ours. Me and another guy was up there. I don't remember if we rode our bikes up there or not, motorcycles up there or not. But anyway, we were there visiting, and we had a little service inside this double-wide trailer house. And it was in the daytime. It's, oh, I know where it was. It was up in Clinton. And this trailer was up on top of a hill. And the front yard, it had a big deck on the front of it. And down below it was, it went right straight down almost into the valley down in there. You could see way off down in there. And we were praising God and just praising God. And I was kind of in praising God and praying in the spirit also. And I opened my eyes and looked outside, and there was angels milling about on the deck out there. And I said, "Y'all see that? See what? See what? See what?" I said, "There's angels out there on the deck." You know, I had just started seeing these things. And they said, No. I said, "Well, look out there in the yard. There's some sitting on a great big rock out there. Angels sitting on a big rock. And some of them were warrior angels. They were resting." And I said, "Look out there in the sky over the valley there. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of warrior angels fixing to mount up." I'm telling you, it was awesome. I said, "Golly, we fixing to see something here." Well, it was just the Lord opening my eyes of what was around us. And that was, man, that made an effect on me. There's angels doing stuff all around us, folks. Yeah. You got one sitting right behind you, Ben. I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. Oh, man. But I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it a bit. Yeah. Ask the angel, you know, your angel, ask your angel what his name is. They'll tell you. Whoo! Thank you, Jesus. Has anybody got anything else they want to relate or tell or say? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I'm just thinking about how Elisha's servant asked Elisha, "What should we do when the chariots of fire was all around them and the people are approaching?" And that must be an awesome sight for the Lord
Oh my,
to keep
yeah.
that servant that thing, all that chariots of fire and the angels and things. So
Yeah.
I think it must be
Amen.
awesome. It must be scary.
Can you imagine, Joe? Think of this. I was thinking about this the other day. You remember at Azusa Street when they would pray that the fire would come up on the roof and the fire department would come out there and they couldn't see no they could see something burning up there, but it wasn't burning. It was fire, you know, and they that happened a number of times out there and in other places too I've read about also. Lord, with the let your Holy Ghost fire just light us all up. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Amen. All right, anybody else got something they want to share? One thing that the Lord has impressed upon me just in this last year, and I still at times I fail, but I'm getting a whole lot better at it, and that is what I say means something. Just like Julie was talking about earlier, what you say and confess is very meaningful in your space around you. So just be aware of your confessions. Don't confess the bad report. Always confess the good report. I have to confess, I got discouraged last night. I'm not going to tell you why, but I got discouraged real, real easy. But the Lord lifted me right up right after it. He did. He lifted me up. I think Debbie knows what I'm talking about, but sometimes it gets a little tough, but like we was talking about earlier, all we need to remember is who we're looking like, who we are in Christ, who we are in Christ. Sometimes we like to have a pity party, don't we? I repent. I had a pity party last night. That's the first one I've had in 35 years. No, I'm just kidding. No. Oh, go ahead, Julie.
Something I was reading today and about bearing the fruit, and it's the Lord that does it in us, that's why he gets all the glory. Anything that we are and what we have, what we've been given, it's all him. We didn't do anything to he called us, he chose us, he justifies us, and he glorifies us. He does it all. He just wants us to continue to stay abiding in him, and just, fellowshipping with him, really, is what he wants. He's going to do everything for us. He's the one that's going to bear the fruit, like the vine. We're the branches, We let him clean us, prune up stuff, take stuff away so we can bear more fruit, and that our fruit should abide, and so that we're, he does everything. The branch can't do anything. The branch doesn't do anything except it stays in a connected to the vine, so the sap goes through to where it's supposed to go. And we just have to be that, the willing to let him prune us, willing to let him do what it takes to get us, free from other stuff, so all the sap is going towards the purpose of producing more fruit. And so he gets the glory because we didn't do anything to get it, to earn it, we didn't choose him, he chose us. I mean, all the things, you can look at everything, and it's like, that's why, all he has, in the book of Revelations, where he's seen wearing all of those crowns, it's because it's Christ that's made those crowns, given those crowns, but they're all his. We can't take any credit for anything that we do, because we can't do it of ourselves. He just wants us to, like Michael, you were saying earlier, it's like, take his burden. His burden is light. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, because he wants us, that's why he gets all the glory. We cast our crowns before him because we didn't do anything to get it. It was all him. It was all his gift. It's all his gift. It's all his gift of eternal life and manifesting the fruit in us. We don't have anything. It's all faith. It's all his, He just really wants us to rest because it's already been given and it's already done. And he's our example. He relied on the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit to do everything. And that's what I'm learning anyway, is like that's what he wants me to remember. It's like it's not up to me to do it. It's up to me to just stay abiding in him and feeding on his word and feeding the spirit man and praying and doing what I'm supposed to be doing and focusing. But then, like you said, you were kind of downcast, Michael. And there's always going to be sometimes, the trials, the temptations, and the discouragement and disappointment that come because one, we're not meeting our expectations, or somebody's letting us down, or whatever it is. But I'm grateful, like you said, he lifted you up, and he'll do that for us too if we just, get our mind right. It's like, well, wait a minute, I can't fix that anyway. And it's all temporal, and that's the other thing he's reminding me. It's all temporal. All this is temporal. And praise you, Lord. You do get all the glory because you're the one that does all the work, and you just want us to believe you and rest. And we just have to keep reminding ourselves that and keep our focus where it's supposed to be, and our confessions right, and just love him. Just love him. Praise God. Help us to do that, Lord. That's where you want us, in your presence. That's where we belong. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Pat, we've been talking about Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Nothing shall be impossible to you, and what that means to us. And I believe it means that we always need to pray for the impossible. So if we believe it, it's going to happen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're out of time. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us. And I praise you, Father, that even when we messed up, you'll accept us back in and we'll just begin where we left off. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, all.